El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry show here till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's Truth is Our Bitch time here. And we were just watching Margaret and Bud are here. Robert, you're into hockey, right?
Well, you'd be into hockey. There's no black people in it.
Yeah, there's black people in it.
There's black people that play hockey, Bud. What are you, stupid or something?
What are you talking about?
There's black people that play hockey. So don't give me that crap. It's a sport that now encompasses all racial, economic, ethno peoples. You know.
What do you mean ethno peoples?
You know what I mean. I mean it's no longer a it's a universal sport. It's a very very much a cosmopolitan, metropolitan, Neapolitan.
Well, that's ice cream.
Yeah, that's an ice cream.
It may be an ice cream, but for my purpose, Neapolitan. Never mind, man. It's a lot of people play it. Grant Fuhr, remember Grant Fuhr, the great goalie of the Edmonton Oilers, was the goalie during their five damn Stanley Cups, man. So, as I was saying, what is it with you, man?
Well, just you're asking Robert.
I know about hockey, man, but I don't like it that much.
I don't like hockey either. I mean, I'm not that I don't like hockey. I mean, it's okay, but I only get into it during playoff time. There's too much other stuff happening. And the other stuff that's happening, I'm more interested in. Like, and it ain't basketball either. I've gotten into that English soccer, which, you know, for better or for worse, I'm into it. And I just read an article on soccer the other night about which team I'm supposed to. Anyway, I don't want to get into that. But the Chicago Blackhawks win in overtime 4-3 over the Boston Bruins.
What about now? Here's an interesting question.
What?
What do they mean, Bruins?
Yes, because there is a Bruins.
UCLA Bruins are different from the Boston Bruins. And the reason why they can have, just to anticipate your question.
Yeah, I want to know why they get to have both names.
Because you can have both names. Because the Boston Bruins claimed it. UCLA claimed it. And there is no patent or copyright, as far as I know, on the term Bruin, which is a, to anticipate your confused look, Robert, it's a bear.
Oh, so a Bruin is a bear.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I thought a Bruin, I thought, was some sort of a weather system.
Yeah, that's what I thought, like a tornado.
No. No. No, it's not.
Yeah, a Bruin, not like a gale?
No, it's not a gale.
Well, I know you're saying it's not weather, but somebody said it was like choppy seas and a gale-force wind.
Choppy seas and a what?
A gale-force wind and choppy seas, as if you were in a squall. But it's a little bit larger than a squall.
Yeah. Yeah, squall, a Bruin, water spout, and...
Yeah, and then what else?
Well, it'd be like a hurricane.
No, a Bruin is not a weather system. I'm telling you right now, it's a bear.
Like a Smokey the Bear.
Like one in a forest.
Yes, that's what a Bruin is. Where did you get a weather system?
Well, I was always taught, not always taught, but Bud was telling me.
Since when do you believe him? You're always putting him down and saying he's an idiot. Since when do you believe him?
I understand him to say, if I can finish.
Go ahead.
There are water spouts. I don't know, Bud, you know it.
Yeah, there's a water spout, then a Bruin.
No, that's not what you said to me. You said there's a squall, then there's a Bruin, and then water spouts. Are you kidding me?
What's so funny?
What's funny? I can't believe you guys don't know. Yeah, Bruin's a bear. What kind of bear? I don't know. A big one? A little one? I think it's a sort of a smaller bear. You have bears, and then you have Bruins.
Then you got what?
Then you got like a ground squirrel.
Then you have a ground squirrel, yes. You have bear, Bruin, ground squirrel. Anyway, the Boston Bruins is what I'm trying to get to. The Boston Bruins, and on Phil TV, there are the relative logos of the teams. On the left is the Boston Bruin logo. And as you can see...
Yeah, see, that's got nothing to do with a bear and more to do with a water spout.
That looks more like a weather system.
What that is it looks like the spokes of a wheel. B with the spokes. Is it a Bruin? No, but it's not. And on the right is the Blackhawk.
That's like a smiling Indian.
What's he smiling about?
The Blackhawk is smiling because he's happy to represent the Chicago hockey team. Otherwise, he'd probably be pretty pissed off and sick to his stomach about everything else. But, you know... And in the middle there is the Stanley Cup, which, as you know, they award to the champion team in the National Hockey League, and the team gets to keep that cup. And there's some really interesting stories about the Stanley Cup, where it's been, what it's been through, because the teams get to keep this trophy.
Well, that the same trophy, or they make a duplicate?
No, the same trophy. They get to have that trophy. Now, I think, and I could be wrong, after the year that they have the trophy, or however long they have it, they give it back to the league because the league has to give it to another team. But I think in its place, the teams have different plaques. Well, they have what do you call them?
Like a banner.
The banner. They lower the banner at the stadium, and that is signifies their Stanley Cup championship. But the actual Stanley Cup only stays with the team for as long as they are the champions. And there have been stories down to the years, to the very, very early years of the National Hockey League, or the early years of the Stanley Cup.
What is it named after?
It's named after a guy named Stanley.
Who?
I don't know. Lord Stanley, Duke Stanley, Count Stanley, Duke Ellington.
Well, is he? Was he English?
I think he was. I think he's a guy that gave him the cup. Anyway, so one of the early teams that won the Stanley Cup, they got so hammered one night. It was right after they won, and they were champions, and they were celebrating, and they're on the train, and they're getting drunk, and they're throwing crap out the window, and guys are naked, and, you know. And they left it in a train station. They left it on the platform.
They forgot it.
Yeah, they forgot that they left the Stanley Cup, and I don't know how they got it back, but they did get it back. There have been stories of it being thrown out of the window of a hotel. There have been stories of it being held for ransom. You know, people have stolen it. There have been stories of it being used mistakenly as an ashtray or a spittoon. Most recently, I think that happened down in Anaheim. I'm joking.
Well, I don't think, when you talk about Los Angeles and the Los Angeles area, I don't think you're going to find too many people that treat this Stanley Cup, as you call it, Phil, and obviously not for me, but for those who are aficionados of hockey, this is, I think what you're saying, this is an exalted symbol.
Yes.
All right. And so, as such, should be treated that way.
I would think so, yeah.
All right. So when you give it to a team in Anaheim, my God.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
What's wrong with that?
Well, I just don't...
Well, I was kidding about it being used as a spittoon in Anaheim.
No, but the ashtray.
I'm joking about that. It wasn't used as an ashtray. They had it in a mall down in Anaheim, and I think everybody walked by it and thought it was... Well, that's interesting. What is that? They thought it was a piece of furniture or something. So anyway, there is the story. The first game of the National Hockey League Stanley Cup playoffs. It is taken by the Chicago Blackhawks 4-3 triple overtime. One holy hell of a game, which we're checking at the tail end of here on Phil TV. And of course, we're on at 9:15. We begin we begin streaming Phil TV earlier, but at 9:15 is when we go with our pre-show, and you are all invited to be with us. Later on in the show tonight, did we have a return visit? Lloyd Bonafide is coming back to visit us on our program this evening. I'm not exactly sure why, but I do think that he was the subject, I think, of a flashback. Talking about, I think, I forget which one. Which was the flashback that we did with him?
Well, I got to look it up.
We've got a flashback with Lloyd Bonafide either today or yesterday. And he's going to be on our program. That is our classic flashback on our website. And he's going to be on our program tonight, the Korean War veteran. We also did a trivia question involving Lloyd. But I think that was all yesterday. Oh, well. Check us out at philhenryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. Get a hold of all of those classic podcasts. Get a hold of the daily podcast. Get a hold of 5,000 hours of archive material. Get a hold of, just take a hold of it, grab it, and never let it go, man. And we'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
What about a Bruin?
What about a Bruin, man?
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL and online at philhenryshow.com. We've got Ken Holmbrick. Ken is with National News out of Montreal, Canada, and we want to talk to him about the Stanley Cup. Ken, how you doing? The Stanley Cup is how old?
Well, the Stanley Cup was commissioned in 1892 as the Dominion Hockey Challenge Cup.
The Dominion, what is it?
The Dominion Hockey Challenge Cup is named for Lord Stanley Preston, you know, and then he was then the Governor General of Canada. He awarded to Canada's top-ranking amateur ice hockey club, which the entire Stanley family, you know, was supported, you know.
Does it have anything that, Mr. Holmbeck, this is Bud Dickman.
Yeah, Bud.
It doesn't have anything to do with Stanley Steamer.
The Stanley Steamer is the car?
Yeah, or the people at Steam Clean.
Well, that's ridiculous, Bud.
But why are you asking that question?
No, it's okay. You can ask the question if you want to.
Well, it had to do with Stanley Steamer.
No, it does. As far as I'm concerned, is that I know it's not got anything to do with the Stanley Steamer, which I think was a car.
Yeah, that was a car. Mr. Holmbeck was a car.
Yes, it was a car, the Stanley Steamer.
Yeah, it ran on steam.
Yeah, it would run on steam. That's why they call it the Stanley Steamer, I guess. I was not aware of that, but there's any connection there.
All right, let's get back to the questions here.
What's wrong with that one?
It's fine. It's just, all right, so...
Well, it's a valid question, you know.
Okay, all right.
What about Stan Laurel?
Will you shut up with these questions, bud?
No, it's not good. It's not have to do with Stan Laurel. I can assure you that, my friend.
Okay. So go ahead. The history of the Stanley Cup. I was telling Dan during the break, if you look at the Stanley Cup, it has a band of... It used to be much smaller, right?
Yeah, the Stanley Cup was much shorter. They added 1, 2, 3, 4. It looks like a 5 bands to the bottom of the Stanley Cup. On the Stanley Cup were the names of the championship teams and the names of the players of the championship teams. They first awarded this cup was in 1893, you know, so you've had a lot of names that go on the Stanley Cup. It's a very venerated name.
And the teams keep the cup for the year, Ken. And then let me ask you this, because...
Yeah, what happens if they lose it?
If they lose it, well, but that would be a bad thing. I think they're going to owe some people some money, you know.
Well, it is a good question, Ken. What does happen if they lose the cup?
Let's put it in a realistic context. Suppose it gets stolen.
Yes, if it is stolen, or I think at one time you said it was, or Phil said it was held for ransom.
Oh, yeah, there have been different times that the Stanley Cup has been held for ransom. Well, not held for ransom. There have been times that the Stanley Cup, you know, has been, damaged, you know, and has come to... there's been some close calls, I guess. If the Stanley Cup is ever lost or is it stolen or is damaged beyond repair, let's say.
Yeah, like what if a train ran it over?
If a train ran it over, well, I guess you'd have had the pancake of Stanley Cup.
Well, I mean, what would happen if they did?
If they did, you'd have to talk to the commissioner of the National Hockey League, I think.
So really, seriously, what happens... So the National Hockey League on a case-by-case basis?
Well, I think that the teams, of course, are not indemnified. They are held responsible for the safety of the cup, the return of the cup, because the cup belongs to the National Hockey League, and by extension, belongs to all of the clubs in the National Hockey League. So that if the club, if the cup gets damaged, they're going to want to exact some payment, I think. The clubs are going to have to take insurance.
How much do you think the cup is worth?
Oh, I don't know. It's got to be millions and millions of dollars.
They ever get a guy down there to look at it and see how much it costs?
Did they ever get a guy down there to do what?
Well, a guy who's going to look at it.
What he means is, has it been appraised?
Oh, sure. The stomach has been appraised. I don't know for how much, but they have it insured. And I think you have to understand, since 1914, the cup has been... won a combined 94 times by 18 active NHL teams and five defunct teams. So prior to that, the Challenge Cup was held by 9 different teams, but the Montreal Canadiens, they won the cup 24 times. They're currently the last Canadian-based team in the NHL to win the cup after winning in 1993. The Stanley Cup has not been awarded to a Canadian-based team then. In 1919, there was a Spanish flu epidemic, so they did not award it then. In 2005, they had the lockout. They did not award it then.
Yeah, what's that got to do with if they lose it?
No, I'm just telling you some of the challenges, you know, the...
Well, the flu epidemic after World War One, obviously, that they didn't even have a season. You're talking about the lockout. We all remember that. I didn't know that Montreal, it hadn't even occurred to me that the last Canadian-based team was Montreal to win it.
Right, as bring it back, but it doesn't make any difference because there's Canadian players, and I don't think anybody gives two hoots and a holler, you know, about that.
All right, so the Cup has always been safe, and no one's ever lost it. Let me ask you a question. Is it the Stanley Cup is a you know it's an award given to teams in the National Hockey League, most of which are American teams. The Canadian fan doesn't really get hung up on that, do they?
I don't know. You know, in Canada they like to follow the Canadian teams, and it was great, you know, to see a Phoenix came back to Winnipeg, you know.
Right.
And everybody was in favor of that, and because Phoenix is a great town, but it's a little bit of a joke, you know, to say I'm going to go down to Phoenix and cook alive, you know.
Yeah, Dad, they're even going to keep the ice from melting.
Well, the ice is indoors, you know.
Yeah, but it's an indoor arena.
Well.
No, no, that's indoors. So the ice, you know, you can turn.
Yeah, probably keep it cool indoors, right?
Yeah, they keep it indoors, keep it cool. And...
But what about if the ice is going to melt? What do they do?
Well, if it's going what?
Hold on for a minute. What do you care, bud? What are you talking about?
Think about it, melted ice.
If the ice melts on the surface?
Yeah.
Well, there's something wrong with the plumbing or the coil that keep it cool, the refrigerator to freeze, you know.
What country are you from?
What?
Yeah, what country? You got an accent.
He's from Quebec, okay?
Why are they asking? I apologize, Ken. Why are you asking these questions?
We were told by Mr. Hall.
Well, I come from Canada.
Yeah, but you don't sound like it. Because the guy I know from Canada sounds like...
Would you hold on for a minute and get David on the line, please?
What?
Would you get David on the line? I want to talk to him. Okay, so what we're talking about then, Ken, is the... is that David?
Yes.
Hey, David.
What's going on?
What is with these guys asking questions here?
I told them that they're part of the show to get to ask questions. They can handle a few questions. What's wrong?
They're asking my guest... Hold on, Ken, okay?
Yeah, sure.
They're asking him whether ice melts...
Yeah, that's all right. They can ask that because I think it brings it down to the level where we want the show to be. I think the show is getting... It gets a lot of conversation that's way up there in the air, man. You get it way up there in the sky, you know, with all of these kinds of concepts. I want it right down there in the street. So to that end, I want Bud and I want Robert, and I say this with great respect, Bud and Robert, I want some conversation that's pretty, you know, that's way down there, you know, for a dumb, with the dumb, you know, God bless our dumb people, but the dummies.
Yeah, the dumb guy can understand.
God bless our dumb people.
Yes, don't play it that hard, Phil, okay? When I've been listening to this, you call me up. I got Daphne here. She's happy for the first time because we got a big, fat... What'd we get, honey? Tell them. We got a half gallon of Moose Tracks, so she's happy. So all I'm asking you is just let them... How much time you got?
We got a minute.
Don't talk to me.
All right, go ahead.
No, I can answer the question, Phil.
No, go ahead, bud.
Yeah, I want to know when that ice melts, how much ice do you got to make?
Well, you have to make about 3 inches of ice is all that it is.
What's underneath that?
It's all concrete, or it's a solid floor, you know. But there's no need to, you know, have any more than that.
Yeah, I thought there's more ice than that, like about as deep as a swimming pool.
No, 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 it's not swimming pool deep, it's just that.
Okay, so what happens,
never mind, okay?
Well, what were you going to ask?
What happens if the doors are open, if the air conditioning goes out or gets too hot?
Then it melts.
Yeah, then the ice is going to melt, you know.
And what country you say you're from?
I come from Canada.
What part?
I come from Quebec.
Where's that?
Well, it's,
Never. It's near Ontario. Thank you very much, Ken, okay?
Yeah, I gotta know where Quebec is.
It's right next to Ontario, and it's, you know, it's north of New York State.
North of New York State. I'll look it up.
Yeah, you look that up.
All right, thanks a lot, Ken. So who told you guys you could ask all this dumbass stuff?
David told us he wanted it down on dumb, on a not dumbass. He said I wanted the man, like a...
Yeah, what's the dumb guy in the street?
He wants the dumb guy in the street perspective. Is that it?
Yeah.
What happens if the ice melts? Where's Quebec? Where are you from? Why were you asking him if he's from another country?
He is from another country.
I mean, why were you asking him what country he was from?
Does he come from another country?
What? You guys know he's from Canada.
No, it didn't sound like he's from Canada. It sounded like he come from, like, Denmark or something.
Denmark. All right, we'll be right back. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Steven Spielberg, struggling filmmaker. Next. What?
You guys sound like he come from Denmark.
Yeah, I heard you the first time.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Warren Benman is a frequent contributor on our program. Warren was seriously injured a number of years ago working as a maintenance contractor for a variety of radio stations. He fell from a scaffolding quite high, some 4.5 stories high off of a broadcast tower, and was injured on his way down. Apparently, you know the story, Margaret?
Well, he hit every one of, and I shouldn't say this, but apparently people on the ground that witnessed this said that on the way down he hit every one of these support beams, these metal girders.
Yeah,
on the way down. So it wasn't, it just wasn't pretty. There was no way of spinning it so that it would come out something you could laugh about or enjoy. It also is unfortunate that while it did affect his speech, it did not keep him from playing some amateur hockey in the Northeast after that. And Warren joins us on our newsmaker line because, Warren, you have some of the Stanley Cup history that we do want to speak about. But first of all, I want to talk to you about your experience playing hockey. And how are you this evening, dear?
Oh, I'm doing good, Mark. Good to be on.
Yes, and
I just want people to know, Warren, we can understand you. Sometimes you may be a little difficult to understand, but if that's the case, we may restate some of the things you say.
No, I'm totally understand. You should do that.
Warren, where did you play your amateur hockey?
I played in northeastern Pennsylvania and skated to Ohio, too.
In Ohio?
Yeah.
And what position did you play?
Well, I was playing defenseman a couple times and goalie.
Did you get hit with a puck a lot?
Yeah, I got hit a lot of times. Until the butt end of a stick, the guy beat it in my head. But one of the things I didn't force me as a goon.
So you were a goon. Phil, you know what a goon is.
Yeah, the goon is generally a big defenseman who is out there to just either...
I can do it, Phil, because you're taking your time doing it.
No, I know what it is.
No, but it's okay. I would basically be the bodyguard of a lot of great players we had. Particularly, I'm playing in the Ohio Oil Drum League. And
what was the name of the league?
That was the Ohio Oil Rust Oil Drum League.
The Ohio Oil Drum League? Was that the same team that had the Bernacki Lancers or the Lancettes?
Yeah, they had a guy team was called the Bernacki Lancers, and the lady team was the Lancettes.
Yeah, I remember Lancettes, man. They kicked ass. They beat some men teams.
They had a women's hockey team that beat men teams?
Yeah, the Lancettes did, because they're pretty big girls, and they were able to kick ass.
Okay, you said you got your head beat in. Is that why you have some speech problems?
Oh, yeah, there's no question about it added to it, but it is the fact that the goon fell off the thing.
Yeah, you fell off about four stories.
Who am I talking to right now?
Bud Dickman?
Well, it's people like the two people that kind of have a conversation for people.
But sorry.
Yeah, just you and Margaret and stuff, I'm talking to Dickman.
Why, what, you think I'm a dumbass?
Sometimes.
Hey, you're the guy that's all beat.
Shut up, bud. All right. So, Warren, tell me about the National Hockey League Stanley Cup. You know an interesting story, don't you?
I do, Phil. In 1905, the Cup spent the night on the Rideau Canal in Ottawa. The Ottawa team had been presenting the Cup. And what if it's one of its members?
All I got was boo-boo.
Tell you what, we'll tell that story.
Bye, I didn't get to do it good.
No, you're not doing it good at all, man. So I want to let you go.
Oh, yeah, sure. You treat me like I'm a slobber.
Well, you are a slobber. You're a slobber level one.
You know, no. Not after I got it fixed.
Well, what did you get?
What did you get fixed, dear?
But I guess I got the slobber reflex.
You didn't get no slobber reflex fixed.
Well, at least I got it tried. You didn't.
Well, Bud doesn't have a slobber problem yet. But he's liable to get one if this night continues to go the way it's been going. Listen, Warren.
Listen, Warren, thanks for you being on the show. We can't have no slobber.
No, you're right. I can't have slobber. I can't afford slobber at this rate, at this stage of my career. Thank you very much.
Well, look at you laughing, so you're making fun of the drooler.
Yeah, you're always giving me a problem.
I'm not making fun of the guy. You people are killing me. Warren, thank you, buddy. Warren Benman.
Well, he said it, I was playing in.
He played in the Ohio Rust Oil Drum League. It was a semi-pro hockey league. They had the Bernacki Lancers and the Lancettes, but it was the Lancettes, the women's team.
Yes, that one was apparently feared. A most penalized team in either league, either the men's or the women's. And they were not afraid to use those skates.
Well, that's the part that I read that I could not believe. I mean, that's just... Apparently, this Bernacki Lancettes, not to be confused, by the way, with the secretary of... or the chairman of the Federal Reserve. This is a town in Ohio. But apparently, the Lancettes used those skate blades.
Yeah, they did. They took a man. They'd raise a guy that'd skate right over a guy's face.
Yeah, a couple times skated on a guy's face and stuff.
Well, not a guy. They're playing females. But they did play male teams, and they won. The game that is most legendary, I think, is the Andover game, where they went in and took on the Andover Shellackers and beat them something like 7-1. I don't know anything about hockey. I was just reading up on this.
And this is a man's team.
Yes. And at one point in the game... apparently one of the gals knocked someone to the ice and just started raking her skate over the guy's...
Yeah, right over top of it.
His face?
No, but over the...
Yeah.
So the guy's laying there helpless and she's just running the skate across... Oh, God.
Yeah, pretty bad, man. Pretty bad. Pretty low life, man. They got a lot of low life on that team. And the Bernacki Lancettes, they were all women, but they were low lifes. Low-life, scum of the earth, scum bucket garbage, man. That's all they were.
Well, you're starting to sound very anti-female.
Well, why wouldn't I?
Why wouldn't he is right. I mean, these women are running their skates across a guy's...
Yeah, right over it. They're all skating all over a guy's going, ha, ha, ha. They're all sadistic.
They were women in a man's world. And boy, you guys love to dish it out, but you can't take it. The Bernacki Lancettes are one of the most legendary hockey teams in all of America. And if you don't like it, then lump it.
Big deal. Oh, wow, what a put down.
I don't care.
What are you crying for? Oh, so we've made Margaret cry tonight, so that's the first time this week. Anyway, thank you very much, all of our hockey analysts here this evening, Mr. Holmbeck and, of course, Warren Benman. Now, there are other stories about the Stanley Cup, and it was left in a snowbank, if you can dig this. It was left in a snowbank. And there's another story here of the cup being left or held for ransom. In 1907, it was stolen from a photographer's home where it had been forgotten by the Montreal Wanderers. Apparently, they got so hammered, they left the Stanley Cup in this guy's house, and it was held for ransom. When no one showed interest in its return, the thief left it at the photographer's place. The lady of the house used it as a flower pot until the Wanderers brass remembered it had been where it was, and they went back and got it.
The who?
The Montreal Wanderers. That was the name of the team in 1907. In 1924, the Montreal Canadian players, on their way to a victory party, stashed the trophy in the trunk of their car. Partway to the festivities, the vehicle had a flat tire. The players removed the cup to get at the spare, changed the tire, and drove off, leaving the Stanley Cup perched on a snowbank. Only when it came time to drink champagne from the cup did they realize they didn't have it with them. They drove back to where they'd changed the tire, found the cup sitting there patiently waiting for them, and hastily reclaimed it. Can you imagine the heart attack you're going to have?
Yeah, probably back then he didn't care.
Well, they had to have cared, but maybe not as much, you know.
Yeah, about that, they probably don't let them do that.
Well, they must have someone from the league, don't you think?
I don't know. I don't know how they do it. But obviously, the steps have been taken since then. They don't want to ruin the tradition, which is every team gets to have the cup, and I guess every player does. They don't want to wreck that tradition because it's a grand tradition, and it's what makes hockey, it makes professional hockey in North America completely unique in a lot of ways. It's got this just kind of amateur club feel to it at that particular level. But by the same token, what does happen if that guy, that Ken Holmbrecht guy, couldn't? Are you sure that guy, is that his name?
Yeah, he said his name is.
And he's French Canadian. Anyway, he couldn't tell us really what the cup is worth, what they insure it for, or anything else. Maybe we'll look into that. All right, now.
Yeah, talk about it. There's going to be a press release.
Well, we want to mention that there is going to be a press release. Now, I had, again, another flurry of email exchanges today, and we are nailing down the second, if you will, version or relaunch of our show. But I want all of our radio stations to know the following thing. We are not taking one day off. There will be programming of the Phil Hendry Show one way or another continuing straight on through. So the show won't go dark between our end date at TRN, the 24th, and the beginning of our relaunch, the 25th. So there will be programming throughout. There will not be any period there where we will be off the air. I want all of our affiliates to know that, those that are staying with us, that we will continue on and press on regardless. That's number one. Number two, we, as I mentioned, will be talking, speaking, or addressing in our press release when we're going to begin the first phase of the one-man show, how we want to roll that out. And there's going to be a lot of information there as well concerning affiliates and so on and so forth. I can only encourage you in the most strenuous terms to go to our website, philhendryshow.com. It is there that you will find lists of affiliates. It is there that you'll find all the information you need. And if you can't find the information there, our customer service people kick ass.
Yeah, they're the best.
They do. And what did you say?
Well, he said they're the best, and you go, they do.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Okay, they're...
They do.
They're the best. Never mind. So always email our customer service people and say to them, hey, guess what? My computer exploded. And there's something coming out of my stomach that I think was put there by an alien egg. Can you help me? And we'll get back to you right away with the answer, which is no. But if there's anything having to do with your backstage pass, we're the guys to talk to. Just make sure you hit us up there at Contact Us, our customer service. It's a beautiful thing. All right, we're coming back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. News about Steven Spielberg. And wait till you check this out. Simi Valley, California, which is... regularly one of the safest and most all-American cities in America. Well, they've got their problems now with teachers, sex, students. Oh, yeah. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
What about it?
You're the guy. You got the Stanley Cup.
The Stanley Cup. And I'm just...
I find that very interesting that Warren Benman fell off. And here's the thing, because I'm married to a man that does have a droplet of dementia.
No, more than a dollop. His whole his mind's coming apart.
No, are you a doctor?
All I'm saying is Gray is Mr. Gray's mind is come unglued.
Are you a doctor? I don't think so.
Well, but I mean, all Bud's saying is that Frank, with that whole gender confusion.
Well, with the whole gender confusion, is he Richard? Richard Kuklugu.
Talk about Richard Kuklinski.
Richard Kuklinski. Is that who you're saying?
Yes.
I know who he is. Yes.
All right. Richard Kuklinski was a hitman for the mafia. I believe he's passed on. He was a notoriously violent man, a notoriously sadistic man. He was interviewed by Parker Dietz, one of the top forensic psychologists and psychiatrists in our country.
See, I hate that.
What?
Every time she gets all high on her horse, she goes, I'm talking about it here.
What did you just say?
Bud, never mind about her manner. Every time you start thinking you're hot crap, you turn into just the clowniest sounding guy I've ever heard in my life.
Bud, we change. You're all like, duh, 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 duh.
Oh, you sound like a real drooler, yeah.
No, no.
Yes, yes. Go ahead.
In any event, Parker Dietz, I believe that's his name, or I don't know, but he's a famous psychiatrist. He interviewed Richard Kuklinski, and he said to him, okay?
Yeah.
One, two, three, and. He said...
Wait, what are you doing?
I'm giving it a dramatic pause. Is that all right with you?
Yeah, that's fine, but I just found it very weird that you drew attention to it.
No, I did not. I was giving it a... What is wrong with... What are you saying?
You talk about a dramatic pause, and you go, one, two, three.
Yeah, what are you doing?
I'll do it again, and please don't interrupt me. Richard Kuklinski was interviewed by this psychiatrist, Parker Dietz, and the results were fascinating. Two, three.
Why are you counting like that, Margaret?
It's a dramatic pause, Brains. God.
Oh.
God, you call Mr. Henry Brains or anything?
There comes a time, Phil, where I think even you have to be put in your place.
Wait a... all I'm asking you is why were you counting?
I'll say it again.
I understand you were giving it a dramatic pause. Margaret, everything in your life is not a choreographed dance step. Everything in your life... Where are you going?
I'm going to the toilet.
I think she goes in down near the toilet to cry.
Yeah, she sits down near the toilet to cry.
I don't sit down near it.
Take it easy. Anyway, Richard Kuklinski was a notorious hitman and a notoriously sadistic man. Yeah, Margaret's right about all of that. Was interviewed by this psychiatrist, Mr. Park. Oh, you're back?
Yes, I'm not going to have you tell the story. And I was in mid you-know-what, so...
What? There's a floater in there?
Maybe. I'll grow up, Phil. Please, if you draw attention to it...
Right.
Richard Kuklinski was interviewed by Parker Dietz, and the conclusion was 2, 3, 4, that he was a part of a very small percentage of human beings, okay, that are fearless.
Have no fear.
Have no fear. They are biochemically unable to feel fear. Now, what Dr. Dietz told him was, that we have this percentage of our population, and not all of them are criminals. In fact, very few of them are criminals. Most of them go into, for instance, test pilot. They go into the police force. They go into the military.
Well, in other words, jobs that would take a little bit of guts.
Yes.
And they don't feel no fear, and they go and do it.
Imagine your whole army had guys like that. Man, you kick ass every day.
Well, either that or you'd get them all killed, because you have to be trained. You can be fearless, but you can still be killed.
What do you mean?
Just because you're fearless, bud, doesn't mean that you're like Superman. You're going to get killed.
Yeah, go walk them right up in front of a gun, man. You think you're all fearless and everything.
Oh.
Oh, my God. What was that?
I'm just saying. I understand. Oh.
Okay, you don't have to drag it out to oh. So what was the upshot of this?
Well, Richard Kuklinski was very thankful for the information.
And then gutted Dr. Dietz like a gutted steer.
Why don't I kick your ass?
Hey! Missed me. Ow!
That didn't miss.
All right. So Kuklinski, huh?
Yep.
Now, I think they made a movie about that cat. I don't know when it's coming out, and... very interesting man, father, a husband. His wife was interviewed following his death for this, especially you're talking about, Margaret, and she said that she was afraid of him. It's an interesting story because there's a part of you that feels you have some connection to this man because he seemed as if at the end of his life, he seemed like he really wanted to understand himself and he really wanted to understand why he was the way he was and he wanted to get to the bottom of it.
Well, yes, there seemed to have been a sort of sincerity on his part. And he, for his part, seemed to really love his family, his wife, his daughters.
But they were afraid of him.
But they were afraid of him, yes.
And some of the stuff. The other thing is his book. Now, he wrote a book, right?
Well, no, he didn't write, but there are a couple of biographies of him.
One of the biographies of him that I read... is very, very violent, and some of the violence depicted, or some of the violence described, is almost, you don't, it's tough to believe. It's tough to believe. So I don't know how much of his story he embellished. I don't know how much of it is true. I know he was notorious. I know the FBI knew of him. He's obviously he was a criminal. He got arrested for murder, so he did kill people. And he claims to have been there when Paul Castellano got killed. He claims to have been there when the other guy, Carmine Galanti, got killed. A bunch of stuff. So, you know, maybe we'll find out if and when this movie comes out, or if and when a better biography comes out or something. We're going to be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and online at philhenryshow.com. And guess what book is going through the roof in terms of sales? What do you think?
Real Estate or something like that.
No, the 1984.
What?
The 1984 what?
No, the book, 1984.
I don't understand.
You know there was a book called 1984?
Yes.
That's the one.
That's selling.
Okay, we'll be right back.
What are you talking about?
I told you what I was talking about.
Phil Hendry.